Every Wednesday, we like to take a look at the latest cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to the Stash.
Great to be on the show.
You sent me a great new study that I thought we should talk about. This one's quite interesting. You know, we're always taking a look at marijuana and teens, and of course, at Normal, we do not endorse the use of marijuana by anyone under the age of 18, except for, you know, medical purposes. And we're always looking for strategies for parents to be able to use to help their kids in this world where we have drugs like marijuana that they'll need to deal with. And this study was quite interesting because it had to do with the meal times in the family and how that might affect someone's marijuana use. Tell our listeners a little bit about this one.
This is a really hip new study that came out in the Journal of Adolescent Health, and the first author, Myla Eisenberg, is at University of Minnesota. And a lot of folks have heard about, oh, the family mealtime may be a buffer against a lot of bad things. And in correlational research all done at the same time, you do find that families that have meals together more often do seem to have kids with fewer negative consequences in a number of domains. But it was always done just at one time. Now, this is one of the first to have a long-term follow-up, and in fact, they followed these kids up 5 years later and found that the ones who had at least five meals a week with their family were the ones who were much less likely to use not only cannabis, but also the dreaded cigarettes and alcohol, which I was also really happy to see. The curious finding, though, was it only seemed to work for the girls. So the boys don't seem to have the same buffering effect from having a meal with the family, and we're still unclear about the mechanism exactly, and it looks like this may be partly, you know, mediated by just the idea that there's more family supervision here. Obviously, if you're spending more time with your kids, you've got an opportunity to hang out with them and an opportunity to watch what they're doing. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like that even more than that, you're just giving them an opportunity to engage in a lot of alternative behaviors. Although they weren't measured in this study, I think families that eat together, especially with their adolescent kids, the adolescent kids are more involved in making decisions about the food and actually participating in the meal, cooking, cleaning up, and things along those lines. So you're certainly filling that time with a behavior that's potentially incompatible with getting drunk, smoking cigarettes, or getting high. And I just feel like it's a really neat kind of thing that's relatively easy to add to anybody's daily life.
Yeah, the family mealtime, I think it's interesting, though, that they found this effect of the family mealtime for the females, but not for the young males. Any ideas on why this wouldn't affect young teenage boys?
I think, in fact, when I talk to my friends who have teenage boys, they say a family meal with a teenage boy is he comes in, basically inhales all the food there is in a minute and a half and is out the door. And so I think that the notion of family meal to the little boys when they first filled out these questionnaires and in adolescence doesn't mean the same thing to them. And I was actually thinking, well, what really is going on for them? And in fact, the same kind of buffers that they might be interested in that could encourage supervision are some of the alternative behaviors. So if they're having an opportunity to play sports with family members or to go camping, building stuff, little odd jobs around the house, and things where really they can just hang out at home and have a better connection with an adult, we are seeing nice buffers from just a nice relationship with even one adult seems to be make the difference between problem use and just experimentation with a number of drugs for the boys. And I feel like the outcome measures may be the other issue here, because experimentation with drugs is, in a sense, more normative for the boys. They're just more likely to give it a try. That this may have stacked the deck against the results for boys in this study.
Oh, okay. Now, you had mentioned earlier that there's been other studies taking a look at the family mealtime hour and how that might have better effects for adolescents. Was there this same male-female break in these other studies of adolescent behavior, or did it just happen with respect to drugs and alcohol?
It only worked for this drugs and alcohol study, and it maybe in part depend upon what they measured in the other studies. So what a surprise, having family meals decreases consumption of fried food, increases the consumption of vegetables and fruits and things like that. Well, you can see how that's not something that has the big gender difference the way drug and alcohol use does. So, of course, we wouldn't expect the gender differences on these outcomes. And the mechanism behind that is so clear. If you're eating at home with mom and dad and they're giving you vegetables and fruit, what a surprise. You eat more of those and they're not sitting down to fried cheese sticks than you aren't either. And it's really, I think, a wonderful way to model healthy behaviors in your kids throughout. One question that has been coming up since this came out is just, well, how do I start doing this in my house if we haven't been doing it all along? And what I'm finding is to sit down and have a family meeting and say, okay, now we're going to have family meals together is an invitation to disaster. But sneaking the family meal in with, hey, by the way, I'm having your favorite and we're going to have this interesting dessert and, oh, afterwards we're all going to watch this DVD I rented that I think you're going to dig. You know, that kind of thing where you're actually appealing to the things that they would like rather than using this judicial decree, if you will, we're going to have it this way, but saying, here's an appealing thing I have to offer for you, and it turns into a fun family meal and something that can become markedly more regular. The other confound, of course, is religiosity. So Jews who have Sabbath dinner, folks who grew up having a Sunday dinner as part of their religious traditions also have this as well. And we do see religiosity as a buffer against drug use and drug-related problems. But, again, we just don't know if that's a mechanism or not.
How about any other social types of problems, like getting involved with crime or mischief or anything like that? Was there any look at how the family meal might affect those kind of issues?
It does seem to have an impact on, first of all, early first sexual experience and high-risk sexual behavior, which, you know, kind of makes some sense. And as things like violence and problems at school also seem to be going on, and I feel like in that case it's often the opportunity to do a little problem solving with your parents and generate some options that you wouldn't have generated on your own. I know when I was an adolescent, pretty much the solution to everything may have been, oh, let's just go kick that guy in the shins. And in fact, by bouncing things around with an adult, you may come up with some better alternatives that actually lead to markedly better outcomes.
And those outcomes that we're talking about, again, didn't see a difference between males and females?
With the violence, which again, we anticipate some differences between boys and girls on the aggressive behavior, we did see some gender differences in some of those studies. But otherwise, no, it was a good buffer for the boys as well as the girls.
Wow, that's, you know, I just find that really interesting that in almost every other measure, we find boys and girls reacting the same to the family dinner, except with respect to marijuana and tobacco and alcohol. It just seems very odd to me.
Well, I'm sure as both of our wives would attest, Russ, guys are kind of weird.
Guys are kind of weird. Well, that's good to look at. So we're going to recommend that to all of our families out there. You know, if you've got adolescents that, you know, it's parents, and we've seen this in other instances too, that the amount of a parent's involvement in a kid's life is probably the number one thing that makes a difference as to whether they're going to move on to try drugs or alcohol. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think that's perfectly reasonable, but the other thing I just want to throw in is it's not just about preventing problems. In fact, you find out the more time you spend with your kids, they're actually delightful little people. They've got neat views on the world, fun things for us to learn from, and by all means, hanging out with them. And if you're not a parent, if you're an uncle or an aunt or a neighbor and want to have an interesting meal, it's stunning how much you can learn just by sitting down with a grilled hamburger with the local team.
Mm. And the one last study that we're going to have to get someone to commission, Dr. Earlywine, is to see whether or not the family meal has any effect on boys pulling up their pants.
Looking forward to gathering those data myself.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. We'll be back with you again next Wednesday for another dose of cannabis science.
Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot.